Archbishop William Laurie was appointed earlier this year to head the Archdiocese of Baltimore, the US's oldest Catholic see. He spoke to me about the forthcoming year of faith, the need for a new evangelization, and some of the other challenges facing the church in today's society.
You have recently been installed as Archbishop of Baltimore. What do you see as the main pastoral challenges facing you in your own archdiocese?
Well, of course, I'm fairly new, so I probably will know better those challenges in time to come. But among the challenges I know right away is increasing vocations. And as I travel around the archdiocese, I'm really very encouraged because I meet many young people interested in a vocation, interested in the priesthood. And I believe that in God's grace, with lots of prayer and lots of encouragement, we will see an increase of vocations.
Turning now to the wider world, we're seeing the church's drive to carry out a new evangelization, and we're also heading into the year of faith this autumn. Do you see this new evangelization as one, if not perhaps the most important things for the church in this present time?
Pope Paul VI, when he wrote Evangelii Nuntiandi in 1974, identified evangelization as the prime mission of the church. We are to be an evangelized and an evangelizing church. Time has shown how prophetic Pope Paul VI was in more ways than one, and how wonderful that both Pope John Paul II and now Pope Benedict have picked up this theme, fashioned it into the new evangelization. In order to meet the challenges of the present time, in order to harness the new ways of conveying the faith, and in order to bring new and fresh energy to two tasks. One, bringing the gospel to those who have never really had the chance to hear it and to meet the person of Christ and to welcome the faith into their hearts. And secondly, persons, families, regions, and countries which once had a very strong, beautiful Catholic identity, but which lately have grown cold. It's time to rekindle the faith in those places. And the Year of Faith is a perfect way to do this. It's the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council and the 25th anniversary of the publication of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
It's quite a daunting challenge, though, because as many people say, and as you yourself referred to, you know, in many Western countries, so many people have fallen away from the church. You've got whole generations who've grown up who, as you say, are just unchurched. You know, how in concrete terms do you reach out to them? How do you make it more compelling to them?
Well, when I was a young person growing up in the Middle West in Indiana, if a family did not go to church on Sunday morning, everyone wondered what was wrong with them. Today, if a family goes to church, there may be many who would question what's wrong with them. We're living in a much more secular culture. Here is where the fight for religious liberty and the new evangelization come together. The secular culture excludes religion, ridicules religion, marginalizes it. We have to fight for religious liberty to create that space, that atmosphere, those conditions in which the gospel can be heard. And once we, as we do that, we also have to do it person to person, family to family. Everyone has spiritual hungers. Everyone realizes somewhere in the depths of their being that without God, there is a tremendous hole in the middle of their existence. And many people, especially young people growing up in this culture, realize how cruel it can be, how difficult it can be, how depersonalizing it can be. Our holy fathers, especially Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict, have shown us how to teach the faith in a way that is beautiful, appealing, life-giving. All you have to do is go to a World Youth Day and witness the enthusiasm of millions of young people, and you see it can be done.
But there is, as you say, still this growing secularization and materialism. Do you think materialism bears a heavy responsibility for this moving away from the church, from religion, the spiritual? We've just become too fixated on material things?
Certainly, materialism is a large part of secularism. If you limit your horizon only to this world, then what you own and the comforts you enjoy become, in a certain sense, the be-all and the end-all. That's what St. Paul said about making one's belly one's God. But at the end of the day, many people recognize this to be unsatisfying. They recognize that their search for material comforts always disappoints at some level. And it's important for us to use that as an opening for the gospel. All the missionaries, all the great evangelizers understand first and foremost human nature and what makes people tick. And so I think it's for us in our generation to have a profound understanding, to read the signs of these times, which are a little bit different than they were when the council took place, in order to address the gospel to those aspects of humanity which are wounded and which are in need of our healing. The other thing I would say is that the revolution in communications has something to say to this whole challenge of the new evangelization. I had a pilgrimage to Rome some time ago, and some young people were on it. And I couldn't help but notice that we would bring them to the most ancient and beautiful of basilicas in Rome, and they were stuck looking at their iPhones and texting and all of that. And so a lot of people are living in a virtual world. And for them, a virtual presence is presence. We have to introduce them again to being personally present to one another, to their parents, to their friends, so that they can experience the Lord as Eucharistically present.
But somebody once said to me, talking about, you know, the problems posed by secularization and the need for a new evangelization, it's not the message, the gospel message, that is wrong or is out of date. It's just that we need to somehow redo the packaging to make it more appealing. And as you said, you know, with the younger generation living so often in this virtual world, you're going to have to probably somehow use those methods, aren't you, to reach them?
Yes, I don't want to convey the point of view that we should go back to typewriters and quill pens, although I personally am much more comfortable in that universe. We do have to harness it. We do have to use it. There's an app for everything. So there needs to be an app for the Mass. In our vocations program, if you're not on Facebook, if you're not using the media, social media, you're not going to find young people where they are. So, like everything else, Paul used the Roman roads and the Pax Romana to convey the faith in his time. Well, these are our roads, and these are our inroads to the minds and hearts of young people. But, like St. Paul, and like all good missionaries, we have to lead them beyond where they may be stuck at the present moment.
Do you have any plans for some particular initiatives to mark the year of faith in your archdiocese or even in the nation as a whole? If so, can you tell us something about them?
Certainly. I'm sort of new, and so our plans are a bit in flux, but I think it's going to be a great opportunity to bring together priests to study again the Second Vatican Council for purpose of preaching and for purposes of, if I may put it this way, a new reception of the Council. 50 years out with experience behind us and with commentary from the post-conciliar a papal magisterium, the catechism, the code, the new translations of the liturgy. I think it's possible to understand the council much more deeply. The same is true for catechists. The same is true for youth ministers. And then I think it's important for us to extend this year of faith out into the parishes. I've probably visited maybe a dozen parishes since I've come to the Archdiocese of Baltimore. My sense there, as in Bridgeport, the diocese I came from, is there's a great hunger for the faith. People are looking for a fuller explanation of their faith. They're looking for an opportunity to know how to embrace that faith and to live it in their daily life, to make the connection between Mass on Sunday and work on Monday. And I think the Year of Faith is a perfect opportunity to do this.
I was speaking to Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore.